Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now, here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 151. Are you ready to join the clan? Today we have Jonathan Revell, the king of podcasting, the founder of the Podcast Factory, where he helps his hosts get high-value clients using direct response podcasting. Hello, Jonathan.
Wow, what a big intro. Thanks for having me on the show, Patience.
Thank you for coming. I know the clan here is anxious to hear your story, so let's get started with the basics. Can you tell my clan a little bit about your background, about what you did before you started your own online podcasting?
Yeah, sure. So I, out of high school, I got a trade. I became an electrician. I worked 7 to 3:30 in the boiling hot Florida sun. Did that for about 9 years. And interestingly enough, I was reading a little bit about your story and your mom dying, and I had that happen in my life, except it was a little bit later on. And so when my mom passed away, I knew that I didn't want to be where I was. And so I made a change to become an entrepreneur. I got into real estate, made a ton of money, lost it all, rebuilt the business. And then I started my online business to hedge against another real estate crash. So that brings us to today.
How did you get into podcasting? Why are you called the king of podcasting?
Other people have called me that, and I've just I've tried to stop using it, but it keeps coming up. It's kind of sticking to me. But some other people actually came up on an interview where somebody called me the king of podcasts because I'd done so many shows. But really, it was I always wanted to create some kind of media. I wasn't into writing at the time I got online. Everybody was doing blogs. I wasn't into it. I couldn't sit there and write a post, but I could talk into a mic. And so that's what I did. I went a different route to become a leader in my market. I started with audio, and it's kind of stuck. I've been doing that since 2009, I think.
Wow. What has made you be successful in podcasting while others have failed? Because others, they will start a podcasting and they will just go to episode 5 or 6 and then they will stop. So what is your really secret?
Oh, you don't want to hear this. You don't want, especially you're like on 150 episodes. My secret is not having my own show. That's the secret for me. I have co-hosted about 8 shows. I currently do not have my own show. And it's a whole lot easier when there's somebody else that's responsible for the content.
But then you live a 4-hour a week. So how does this work for you? No, still, there is a secret, Jonathan. You have to tell us the secret behind this. So tell us your 4-hour week then.
That was actually one of the things that got me into online marketing and this digital world that we're living in was Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week. And I did that. I have done that. I did it for many years in my real estate business. And I just recently had to jump back in because our manager quit. So I'm no longer doing 4 hours a week on that business. But I do make sure that I have total control of my schedule. And so using a journal, planning my time blocking, I'm able to get away with working about 20 hours a week now, 4 days, 4 to 5 days a week, 20 hours total.
Okay. What is the most dangerous belief an online entrepreneur can have?
The most dangerous belief? God, there's so many. I'll tell you, one of the most dangerous things that has affected me is not always believing in myself and not always trusting my gut and looking outside for answers when for most of us, 90% of the time, the answers are already inside us and we're looking for validation outside.
So what do you tell for those people who are still looking for the validation? They want to start something once they have maybe 200 shows, or they want to start something once they have like appeared on 100 podcasts, because I have other guests who wants to do that. So what do you tell to those people?
I think the big thing, because I'm pretty sure that You had mentioned that most of the people listening here are in the early stages, either getting ready to leave the 9 to 5 or just started an online business. I think the advice that I would give myself 9 years ago or whenever I started online would have been to invest more in my environment rather than my education. Because I think one of the things that we see online is there's always a new course, there's always a new ebook, there's always a new software, and all that, in my mind, is distractions. The best place to invest would be to invest in an environment with people who are thinking at a higher level than you, and that will help elevate your game quicker than anything else I've seen.
So how do we start on looking for this environment and getting into the more nurturing them?
Yeah, it's that's really tricky, and actually, it's one of the reasons I started the podcast factory was because I got into situations where I got mentorship from certain people, I got advice from certain people, and it worked. And I was grateful for the help that I had gotten from these folks, and I wanted them to be able to help more people like they helped me. And that's really how the podcast factory started. It was me talking with my mentors who had helped me build my business and sharing those conversations with the world. So how do you get into those situations? That's different for everybody. I just happened to be hanging out with certain people. I saw who was doing the things that I wanted to do, and I just got close to them, helped them, and worked with them, and did whatever I could to get near them and eventually get mentored by them.
Okay, so yes, you wanted to help people, you want to do also to learn from doing podcasting, but why do you do what you do, Jonathan?
At this point in my life, I am actually, and I might be overthinking this because another mentor of mine is my father-in-law, and he tells me I'm thinking too far ahead, but I have a couple things in mind. Number one is that I want to make sure that my family is taken care of, and not just right now, not just this year or next year, but for the next 2 generations at least. And that's where my father-in-law tells me I'm thinking too far ahead. But I want to make sure that I set up something that really puts my family in a position to get ahead for the next couple generations. There's that part of it. The other part of it is the people that have mentored me. Like I said, there's so many different gurus online that you could follow, and most of them don't know what the heck they're talking about, and they'll sell anything without testing it. And I want to protect the public from that. And that's why I make sure that the people that I work with are top quality. And so the other part to that is when I know that I have good people around me, like my clients, my mentors, and all that stuff, I want to help them grow. So that's a legacy play for me. And at the end of the day, I'm very, very selfish. I want every show that we put out to be impacting lives. And so I can't impact as many lives by myself doing a show as I can providing this podcast factory environment where we have 20 or 30 shows of different mentors impacting lives. And I feel a little bit responsible for all the lives we impact with our shows from all our hosts.
What is grit and why do we need it?
Yes, grit, grit. You're not going to survive without grit. And that's actually, I think that's one of my superpowers. I can get kicked in the head and get back up. And I just keep doing that. It's kind of like if you ever watched a Rocky movie, Rocky goes in the ring and he just gets beat up and pounded on, and his eye is puffy, he's bleeding, he's in a daze, and the stupid guy, he just gets back up. And that to me, that's what grit is. No matter how hard things get, no matter what you run into, your dream, your vision, your reason for doing what you have to do needs to be big enough to push you through all those punches that you get.
But sometimes, sometimes we get really punched so hard, and you're like, you're already on number 9, and you are like there on number 10, and you get really knocked down and you fall. So what do you say to those people to get up?
Yeah, and if you don't get up for that round, you're going to have to fight again another day, or you're going to have to give up. And so it goes back to the reason you're doing everything. Is it a big enough reason to drive you to get back up again? If it's not, then maybe you need to look elsewhere.
Okay, you've been in the business for a long time. Let's put a man aside. How do you know you are successful?
Me? I don't. And that's pretty much that's here's what here's something that's fascinating to me. Where I'm at right now, I am surrounded by some of the most high achieving people in the world. Like, these are ultra successful people that, if you had asked me 10 years ago, I never thought I'd be running in this circle. And what I've noticed is that we are all quite dissatisfied. And we're dissatisfied with our performance or our rating or where we're at because we always want more. And so here's the thing I learned from Dan Sullivan in Strategic Coach. When you get to that point where you feel like you're just chasing endlessly on a hamster wheel, not getting to your goals, not achieving the things you want to achieve, step off the hamster wheel for a second. Turn around, look back, see where you came from, look at where you are now, and recognize the gap between those two places. And that's what Dan Sullivan calls it, the gap. And when you do that, you realize, good grief. Yeah, I guess I am successful because I've come this far. Now let me keep on pushing. And so I'm endlessly pushing.
You are surrounded by high achievers, you have good great mentors, you have met different people around the globe. But one question, Jonathan, can anyone be an entrepreneur, or are some people more cut out for it than others?
You know the answer to that. Come on. You just want me to say it, so I'm the bad guy. No. Most people are not cut out for it. Most people will not get up after they get punched a bunch of times. And most people are looking for the easiest friction-free way to glide through life. And if that's you, then that's okay. You can get a job. You can go do nothing. Whatever you want to do, you're not cut out to be an entrepreneur. You have to have some sort of vision. You have to have the grit we talked about, and you have to be willing to suspend all belief. This is one of the secrets that I've learned patience recently is when going into a new situation, you have to be able to suspend all disbelief. Like, oh no, there's no way I could make that much money. Oh no, there's no way I could do that. You have to suspend all of that when you're working towards new goals and believe that you can achieve anything that you set your mind to, because if you don't have that ability, then you are destined to fail. And if you're just going to fail, then there's no reason to be an entrepreneur.
But is it okay to fail for like take 2 years out and work on yourself and come back?
Oh yeah, look, the thing, here's what the difference is, patience. Us as entrepreneurs and high achievers, we take failure as a lesson. It's not a final judgment. It's a lesson of what we should be doing differently or the change that we need to make. The average person, average ordinary people is what I call them, AOPs, they take failure as a sign that they're not supposed to be doing something, that they should probably quit. And so that's the difference is, do you take failure as a lesson or do you take failure as a final judgment? And I think that right there will tell you if you should be an entrepreneur or not.
You made money and you lost it all. What was the secret of coming back on top?
It's back to grit. It really is. And it's just knowing, see, after I left my blue collar work and I got into real estate and built my business, I realized that I could not go back to trading hours for dollars, and I had to make it work. And I didn't have any other option but to make it all back or die is the way I took it. Make it all back or die. Because I'm not going backwards. And so that sounds extreme, but it's what was in my head and helped push me through those hard times.
What have you learned from business as a whole?
I don't know. There's just so much. I think right now, what I'm really focusing on is something that I made a mistake when I first started in business. I tried to do all the work myself. I actually put on tools and rehabbed houses and stuff like that. And I think one of the biggest mistakes I made was not working on the business instead of working in it, which, hammering nails and putting up doors and turning screws is working in the business. I should have been planning better and I would have seen the things that were coming down the road and I could have made better decisions. And so right now, I would say that just being a better leader, being a better visionary, and looking at the bigger picture is one of the key things that has helped me.
What is the most valuable thing your mentors has told you?
Ah, there's so much good stuff. There is so much good stuff. So thinking in terms of the online success community, I would say that the tip that we gave about suspending all disbelief when you go and work with a mentor after you've vetted them and everything, suspend all disbelief and do whatever they tell you. But I think, you know what, the most valuable thing is just doing the work. A knowledge alone, and that's why I said when you're starting out, investing in info products and all that stuff might be a waste of time because knowledge alone without application is worthless.
But sometimes we need to learn, and then the applying is next. So for you are telling us we should apply, then learn later? What is the system,
No,
Jonathan?
I'm saying that school is stupid because you sit there and learn and you don't apply. And so to me, it's better to just learn something and apply it right away. And what happens with most people, especially when you're first starting out, is you learn one thing, then you learn another thing, then you learn another thing. You've already forgotten the first thing you learned, the second thing you learn, and you're going on to learn something else, and you're not applying it. So knowledge and action need to be simultaneous.
You mentioned you have children. So what advice are you going to give your children? Not to go to university or go to college? What advice are you going
No, I can't say that. So that's the talk that me and Cupcake have all the time. That's what I call my wife, is she went to college, she got her MBA, she went to good schools, and she got educated. I got none of that. And so we both have different ideas about school, but the idea for us right now is that he can choose his path, and if he chooses the path of going to school, we are going to make sure that the school is a school where he can make connections because we know how valuable relationships are. And at the end of the day, that's really what's going to move his career forward. But the basic lesson that I have for him right now is solve a problem and get paid. That's the basic lesson. And it's not working, trading hours for dollars. It's solving problems, and whatever the value of that problem you solve, you will be blessed with returns.
And what does your wife say? I bet you beat her all the time saying that, oh, you wasted your dad's money, you wasted all that time, and I don't have any education, and look at me. Do you think it's fair?
No way. I would never say that. I think that what we have is a very special balance because I have the street smarts, she has the book smarts, and then we level each other out.
I thought you were going to say you always win.
That's what she would tell you.
What is the most valuable thing you have ever given away?
Most valuable thing I've ever given away. Maybe my self-esteem when I failed at my first try at real estate, and it took me 2 years to get it back. And so that's 2 years that I didn't make progress.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success so far?
I will say the major thing is mentorship and being mentored by the right people and recognizing opportunities for mentorship and taking advantage of them.
What is one thing no one knows about you?
One thing no one knows about me. Let's see. What could I share that would be really, really embarrassing? I love to play Xbox with my son, and we play almost every afternoon. Nobody knows that.
Really? You have time also to play? Wow.
Yeah,
That
of
means
course.
everyone can play. So that's not embarrassing. Okay. What grounds you, Jonathan?
My family, 100%. My family and wanting to be a kind and loving father and husband, and it requires work every day.
But if you say it requires work, you're scaring people who are not in the relationship or thinking about starting a family. They'll think, work? I'm running away from work. And now he said the family is work. Don't you think you're scaring them?
Oh no. I think that's my motivation, but it's I like I said, I am a high achiever. I strive to get better every day, and part of getting better every day is not just my bank account, not just the hours I work, but the time I have with my family. I want to make that better time, and so I always want to improve that.
Okay. Do you have any rituals you do to be successful, like everyday things you do?
Oh,
Meditation or
yeah.
something? So
Of
tell us more
course,
about
yeah.
that.
Right now, let's see, I'm going to pull out. I actually have it written down here, funny enough, because I read it to myself every morning. So I have this, I get up and I like to hydrate, drink some water. Then I have something called my morning formula, which is a document that has me in the future and what my life looks like with my family. I have a vision board with just beautiful things that motivate me. And just a couple things like some principles that I live by. What else is in here? Affirmations and all that. So I do that first thing in the morning. I shave, I shower, I exercise, have coffee. I read about 20 minutes of a book, and then I plan my day. I do my daily game plan, and that's how I go into every day.
Have you ever missed any of those in the order, or you just, it's religiously, you just have to follow it every day?
You know what? I was just thinking about that this morning. It's funny that you asked that because I did change the order. Like now, when I originally wrote that, I was doing stuff a little bit differently, which was only like, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago. But now I get up, drink water, shave, and then do my morning ritual. I used to do it afterwards, and then my exercise routine has changed to where it used to be first thing in the morning. Now it's a little bit later. I just want to make sure I hit all those things in the morning before I have to deal with work or before I have time with my family, so I'm already taken care of.
Tell us more about the podcast factory.
What would you like to know? It's pretty
Who's
much.
this for? Who can benefit from it? How can we listen to it? How can we get all the goodness out of you? Because you know more, you've been around for a long time, so we need everything. So how can you help us, please?
Yeah, the best thing to do, like the way I look at it, is I've assembled some of the smartest, brightest people that I know, people with high integrity, people who are high achievers. And the miracle of all of this with modern technology is that they can all be available to you in your pocket. And that's basically all you have to do is go to thepodcastfactory.com. And once you get to the site, you will find my mentors, other people who I've worked with, and all that right at the touch of a button. And you can listen to any one of those shows and just look for something that's interesting to you and listen to a show and be better off afterwards.
Wow. Where do you see the podcast, the future podcast?
That's something that we've been thinking about a lot around here, and it's constantly evolving. And right now, what we do is help our hosts who have high ticket offers, 3,000, 5,000, 7,000, connect with their listeners, turn their listeners into raving fans and their best clients. And that's the way we're doing it right now is very simple, similar format to what we're doing here on your show, with some direct response elements. For me, the future is still in direct response for what we're doing, but I do believe that podcasting will be better produced and you'll have better audio programming, more thought put into it, and scripted kind of shows in the future, like old time radio, War of the Worlds type of stuff, but more of that because I think that it is evolving, it's still young. And it still needs to mature some, and that's kind of where I see it going.
Everyone is now into podcasting. Do you think podcasting is for everyone?
Oh, no.
Or is
It's
it
just.
overcrowded? Because wherever it is, the podcast shows popping up. So it's like TV channels popping up here and there. So what do you think on that?
Yeah, I tend to talk people out of podcasting if they're too early in their business. There's so many other things that they could spend time on, like getting a good offer, making sure that offer is converting, making sure that you have happy clients so that you delivered what you sold them. And so that is really a better time, especially when you're starting out. That's a better way to invest your time. The way I see a podcast is once you have a business that's working, once you have an offer that's converting, once you have predictable sales and you're looking for a way to convert more people to add to your bottom line, that's when a podcast comes into the picture and adds fuel to the fire.
Thank you for sharing. So, where can we find this podcast and how can we get in contact with you?
Yeah, best thing to do is go to thepodcastfactory.com. And I believe that, not sure when this will air, but I'll probably have the Three Deadly Sins of Podcasting report available. If not, it'll be maybe a book or something, but it's all based around direct response podcasting. And if you don't want that, that's fine. You can just go straight to the site and just listen to the shows and pick a mentor, put them in your pocket, listen to them and learn from them.
Wow. What is the book about?
The book that is we're actually working on right now is going to be laying out the direct response podcasting framework and mythology that I've put together over the last 9 years.
Okay, thank you. I think once it is ready, you will send us the link so we can access it.
Sure. The best, like I said, the best place to go to find everything is thepodcastfactory.com. Everything's there. Just click around a little bit.
Thank you. So, Clan, there will be more from Jonathan in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcast platforms rather than my website and you are encouraged by Jonathan Janney, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for paths to success. We are one big clan and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Jonathan's journey or over 100 journeys that are available and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Jonathan.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path. So make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form, by clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube, or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of Patience and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.